Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I want to encourage you that if you're facing homelessness, if you're facing trials of any kind, I want to caution you and just encourage you not to be anxious.
Right.
Not to be anxious. Philippians tells us, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. We talked about military and Israel. Mm-hmm. Listen, we don't need to be anxious. God's word tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, mm-hmm. present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Man, I don't know about you. That is a powerful, powerful verse of scripture.
That's right.
It has brought me great solace. Many, many, many times. But you think about it, God commands us in his words, you know, not to be anxious. These women hung themselves, bless their heart, because they felt that they had no other choice. Listen, it's not the end of the world. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. But we got to turn to God.
That's right.
We got to turn to God. You know what anxious means? Anxious means uneasy, apprehensive, uncertain about a matter, worried, tense. Mm-hmm. You're concerned about, like, you know, a misfortune is going to happen to you. So it's just like, oh, I'm just anxious. You're uneasy, mm-hmm. restless, agitated, jittery. Mm-hmm. The actual original word in like Latin means to choke or squeeze. And if you've been around an anxious person, it's just feel like they're choking. They're just like everything's squeezing in on them. Mm-hmm. You've ever experienced anxiousness yourself.
All right.
And God's word clearly tells us, don't do it. Don't be uneasy. Mm-mm. Don't be jittery. Don't allow what you're facing to choke you out, choke your family out. Don't even go there.
Right.
About anything. Why would God tell us that about anything? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we're anxious, it's because we're trying to find a solution within ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it could be financial. It could be something going on with the family, with the marriage. Mm-hmm. It could be something in your own life, personal struggles and challenges at the workplace. Mm-hmm. And you're anxious. And you talk to a lot of people today with so much uncertainty with what's going on. You just sense a great anxiousness in terms even of their employment. They don't know what's going to happen with the economy. We want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you through God's word that God encourages us not to go there, not to be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, in every situation, in every circumstances, in every place that you find yourself in, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you go along through the day and anxiousness, you become so worried that you don't even realize that you're worried about something.
All right.
Until someone says, dear, Pat, are you okay? Chris, is everything okay there? I'm fine. I'm fine. Oh, what? What? Is there something wrong?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're awfully jittery today. You know, you can be so self-focused. You can have this whole thing going on in your head and in your brain. Mm-hmm. You're thinking so hard that we all see it. It's like we see their brain all functioning.
Right.
See
everything. It's all over your face.
We see those gears moving, literally. Mm-hmm. And your body becomes to take on what's actually happening within your mind. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we can respond one or two ways. We can become anxious. And anxiousness is what? Wasting our time. Mm-hmm. Being all focused on fear and dread, mm-hmm. of a misfortune. Something's going to happen, as if that could actually change the situation.
Right, right.
And you got to be careful that you don't have a default setting to be anxious. Some people think that that's normal, that it's okay. I'm just anxious. I'm just anxious. I'm just anxious. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my kids. Right. You know, where about my relationship? Where about my relationship? Where about the economy? It's like, that's not a, you can't have a default setting to go straight into anxiousness and to worry. But in everything, we can actually go to the one who could actually fix a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In prayer and petition with thanksgiving, you have a request, you have a need, you have a situation, you have a concern, you're going through a trial. You can present your request to God, to the one who actually holds your life in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one who can determine anything, the person who can grant you the relief or the favor. And if he allows it, it's because it's Father filtered.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been there? Have you been there before? Have you ever been anxious about something? You realize, why am I so anxious?
All right. Exactly. What's the root of all that is fear. You think about it.
Absolutely.
Every bit of it.
That's the foundation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the anxiousness is all about something's about to happen that mm-hmm. I don't want to happen.
All right. False evidence appearing real.
Mm. That's good. That's the acronym, yeah. False mm-hmm. evidence.
Right.
And you're fretful. Fretful. Sometimes you can be anxious about a conversation because you're thinking, oh, if I have this conversation, this is not going to go well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are you projecting on that? Instead, you know, we could just take that concern because it could be a legitimate concern. It may not go well. But by focusing on dread and those possibilities that may or may not occur,
mm-hmm.
why not take that concern? You know, Jesus is our burden bearer.
Mm-hmm.
Just take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and easy.
That's right.
How many are suffering unnecessarily stress? I mean, and burden, and then you're spreading it all through your family, all through your workplace, all through your, and it's like, that's so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's God says, hey, bring your burdens to me. I care for you. So prayer and petition, make your requests with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, one of the ways that to really lift up your spirits,
mm-hmm.
you know, so one of the ways to really get encouraged is to start thanking God and to remember all the good things that God has done in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, there's nothing that will build your faith. I write this stuff down. I know you and I have had this conversation, you know, and every time God answers mm-hmm. a prayer request, you know, I write it down.
Absolutely.
Because it builds my faith.
Right.
You want to look back and say, oh yeah, God answered that. And I remember when God answered that, start talking to the Lord in your prayer. Start remembering and thanking him mm-hmm. for all the good things that he has done, mm-hmm. for the times that he's healed you, for the times that he provided you when there was no way.
That's right.
The way that he answered and restored you when it was all said and done and it was all over, that one time God intervened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you said, God, if you get me out of this one, and he did, and how he touched your family, and how he mm-hmm. gave you that job that you didn't have, and you were all by yourself, and you said, Lord, if you give me a family, if you give me, you know, if oh, we just had a child, and God gave you 6 children, and it's like all these different things that God mm-hmm. so, you gotta remember.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sit back and rejoice and ponder. Listen, you can focus on your problem, or you can focus on God. But I tell you, both of them, you know, the one you choose is going to determine
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen with you.
That's right.
And you can focus on fear, you can focus on faith. And so it's, you know, so we can't be anxious. And the thing about all of this is that he says, in everything, present your request to God. And get this, and the peace of God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you actually talk to the one who can do something about your situation,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Right. When you talk to the one who holds the heart of the king in his hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you talk to the one, or the rider of the horse, whose name is faithful and true, who is just and fair and righteous, when you talk to Jesus, when you talk to the creator and the manager of the universe, who put the stars in place and told the waters to stay at a certain point, when you talk to God,
mm-hmm.
Come on now. He says, look, you're going to have peace and the peace of God. You know, I was talking to someone the other night, and I remember hearing that one of the names that, Jesus had was the Prince of Peace. And I, you know, before I knew God, I thought, oh, that's cute. You know, hope, joy, peace. Oh, that's a nice little saying that they give Jesus, you know, the Prince of Peace, you know.
Right.
Until, you know, I needed some peace. And I realized that he was the source of peace.
That's right.
Man, when there is anxiousness, you have no peace in your life. There's no peace, constantly worried, things constantly on your mind. Anxiousness and worry and fear will sap and drain the life out of you. It'll cause you to be bitter. It'll cause you to be edgy. It'll cause you to snap. Right?
That's right.
When you have peace, it's all good.
That's right.
And he says, and the peace of God which transcends. That word means to rise above, to exceed. When the peace of God rises above your ability to understand. Now you're talking. I mean, you've been through something where it's like, dude, we have just experienced the big one in our home. You know, I was like, I just got hit with a mega bomb here.
That's right.
And for all intents and purposes, I should be totally distraught and just like knocked out, my wind knocked out of me. But for some reason, there's an overwhelming peace upon me. And it's beyond my ability to understand. I mean, because if you look at the facts say that I am in trouble. If you look at the facts and what other people tell me, this is the big one.
That's right.
You know, that I've been diagnosed. They told me that this was it. But you got to understand, I spoke to God. You got to understand that I took this request. I couldn't worry about the diagnosis. By worrying and focusing and fretting, and that is not going to make me get better. But I took my request. I did like David did, and I magnified God. And I didn't magnify the problem. I said, God, you're bigger than all this. And I started thanking him for what he did for me in all my life. And I looked back at the years and the chapters of my life and saw God's hand upon me and what he's done for my family. And faith started to rise up. And not only faith, but the peace of God started to descend on my mind. And for some reason, I've got peace.
Good.
Isn't that good? I mean, we need peace. You got to operate in a place of peace from peace.
Nothing like it.
You ever been in an environment where maybe you're leading something and somebody's just so anxious and they come, that anxiousness, that fear is contagious.
Very contagious. Oh, yeah.
And you bring someone in like that and it starts jumping all on each person. And so the peace of God rises above our ability to understand. And get this, this is what the peace of God does. This is what the peace of God does. It guards your heart and your mind. Let me tell you something. You can have some thoughts that could be pounding so loud in your mind that you can't even go to sleep.
Right.
You're talking about a restless night. You're talking about anxiousness and concern and gripping. Let me tell you something. The peace of God, what it does, it just it begins to guard your mind. It begins to protect your mind. It begins to build a fortress, a wall, if you will, of just peace, of faith. I mean, listen, you can go through this. You can go through this. We got to encourage, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want to encourage you today.
That's right.
We're here to encourage you. We're here to enlighten you, to inspire you, to activate you.
That's right.
You know, but don't forget that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what will stop you and what will put a hold on you will be just that. Fear, worry, and anxiousness. And as listen, you may hear troubling things in the news. You may hear things that happen, you know, to other people. But for us, our comfort, you should know God, you're seeking God here today, is for you to spend that time abiding. I mean, Pat, Chris, can you remember a time? Can you remember a time where you needed to hear God? And you set out to abide in just that one word, that one scripture.
Oh yeah. Yeah, many times. Many times.
Isn't that powerful?
Oh, it is. It just brings you such peace, knowing that God's aware of everything. You know, he's has all your burdens in his hand. He's just waiting for you to release them out of your hand and put them in his.
That's
and
right.
As soon as we do that, and then he gives us that faith to believe that he's in control. He's going to take care of that situation.
Right.
And then it's just gone. I just remember so many times when that happened.
Isn't that amazing?
It's wonderful. I mean, it's like, all right, I'm done. I get up, walk away. I mean, it's just done, you know, right. Knowing that God's going to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just like, you know, like, what is it about God that you don't like? I'm thinking, dude, give your heart to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I can't carry that. Been there, died there, slab worn out, tore up from the floor up. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like, what part of worry, anxious, I mean, if you don't know Jesus, how can you ever truly, think about this, if you haven't accepted the Lord in your heart, how can anyone truly have peace outside of God?
That's right.
How could you? Constantly worrying, and that's why man is just so caught up in his ability and what he can do, and they put in so much stock in education and money and all of this, because you become your own fortress.
Mm-hmm.
You become your own insurance policy, if you will. You begin to self-insure against calamities, and you start taking pride and stock in yourself. But let me tell you something. Ain't none of us all that good.
Mm-mm.
And the best of us can all have a bad day.
That's right.
And so it's not about putting your faith and your trust in yourself. It's about turning to God.
That's right.
Turning to the one who's faithful, who loves you, who has a plan for your life, and truly cares about helping you and assisting you and bringing you out through this. And I'm telling you, God can put you through this.
Yes, he can.
You just got to be willing to stay in the pool, right?
That's right. And be ready to let go of it.
That's right. Let go and let God, right?
Amen.
A lot of times God wants to deliver us from something, but we refuse to let it go. Listen, I want to encourage you today. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Take your request, take your concern, and give it straight to God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do you wish there was one easy way to improve your marriage? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Patricia Ashley with one suggestion.
When you give your husband true compliments, and when you say true positive things to him about him, it is like putting water on a plant. I know what I'm talking about. Do you all hear me? Even if they reject it, even if they act like it didn't move them, believe me, if you walk out the room and peek back at them, they like it.
Well, we all like to receive compliments, don't we? Especially from our spouse. So give your husband or wife some words of affirmation today. You'll be glad you did. For more ways to strengthen your relationship, stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
We're in this for the long haul, or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There's so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if in fact that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in Him, He abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as He measures success in your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I know that that the Lord has been really speaking to all of us, and we want to be able to share what, you know, God is saying. And as I was saying earlier about, it's okay. Understand that if you decide to follow God, drop everything. I mean, He may give you something else in regards, all of a sudden your occupation no longer becomes your purpose, but it becomes your provision for your purpose. And at that point, it's a whole different story at that point. All of a sudden, you're just trying to feed into resource what God has called you to do. Now your destiny is doing what God called you to do. Are you going to go through dilemmas and everything? Well, they went through boiling of oil, cut asunder, hiding in caves, running for their lives, being chased down by a king named Saul. They went through a ton of different things. Went through 100 years of not being able to have children when God told them they were going to have a child. I mean, they went through a lot of different things, but the whole thing, they did it by faith. It's by faith, and they were willing to go and not look back, And that's what we need. We need people, because just like I was explaining earlier, is that when I was at that picnic, I really thought these guys they looked forward and they were going to be there with me, but they thought back in their heart and they went back. And the truth is, if your heart is still in Egypt and we're about to go in to take the promised land, the truth is, when you see the giants, you're going to run. When you see what's going to cost you, when you see that, you know, you see David running to Goliath, you're going to be running behind the rocks. Mm-hmm. Because you haven't made up your mind. This is what God said. This is what I'm going to do. And my life is going to be a life of faith. I'm going to do it. And we are looking for men and women that have that heart to say, you know what? God tells me to drop my stuff and tells me to go. I'm going to go, and I'm not going to look back. And I am ready to do what God says. I want my name to be written in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to be amongst those people. And I'm not going to be the ones that reminisce about all the things that used to be, what I gave up to be where I am today. Oh, I'd be making more money today if I would have stuck to selling crack. No, I'm sorry, a business. And it's like, come on, what are you doing? You're ruining your worship. You're talking about all that when God's the one that gave you all that in the first place. And it's like, come on, it's time for us to say, you know what? I'm going to look forward. I'm going to do exactly what God said. And that's how this nation can turn around. It's time for us to begin to stand up for God. Mm-hmm. We got to stand up for God. I think about three men that decided that they want to stand up for God. Three men in Daniel chapter 3, he talks about these three men. I'm going to say their name. I'm going to call them these three men instead of say their name over and over again. Their name was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men that when everybody in all the entire nation was doing wrong, they were going to do right. Mm-hmm. They were going to do right. They weren't trying to make a big scene of it. They weren't trying to push their way on anybody. They were just personally, they made a decision that I'm not going to do what everybody else is doing. I'm going to stand up for God. And the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, which, by the way, God called his servant, even though he was an evil king. Long story short, God's people were in rebellion, so God gives them
and puts them under an evil king called Nebuchadnezzar. And here they are under this evil king, and this evil king decides to be able to make this huge governmental program, no, this huge golden image. And he says, everybody's got to sign up for this program. everybody's got to bow down to this particular image. And they don't. Everybody else does. But these three guys said, we're not going to worship this in their hearts. You know, we're not going to, they're not saying, hey, everybody, you're evil. They didn't say, hey, you know, you shouldn't be bowing down. Just personally, they made a commitment that I'm not going to bow down to what everybody in this entire nation is bowing down to. I am going to worship God and him only. But they just kept it to themselves. They weren't like broadcasting it or anything of that nature. Of course, there was this rat, this dude that sees what's going on. And he just thinks it's his job to go tell King Nebuchadnezzar, say, hey, almighty king, you know, kissing up to the king. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know there's three guys over here that I know you told everybody that they have to sign up for this program. I know that they have to bow down to this image, and they're not doing it. Mm-hmm. And he got furious. What this rat told the king, I mean, he got furious. Mm-hmm. And so he calls these three guys to him. He calls them to him, and he says, okay, listen, this is what you're being accused of. And they didn't even defend themselves. They didn't even defend themselves. And he says, there's a fiery furnace over here. It's fire. There's huge consequences for you not to sign up for this program. No. Mm-hmm. There's huge consequences for you not to bow down and use artificial intelligence. There's huge consequences for you not to buy into what everybody's buying into. There's huge consequences. I, the leader, have decided this is the way we're going, and everybody's bowing down to it, and you're going to bow down to it too. If not, you're going to suffer these huge, painful, horrific consequences. We're going to throw you into this fiery furnace. I mean, how many Americans do you know right now? How many Americans do you know? How many Christians do you know in America, not outside of America, because I'm talking about in America, they would say, well, I'm not changing my mind.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, most I know is like, how hot is it? And is there any other way we could work our way through this? And how about if I just kind of look like to everybody else that I am, but in my heart I'm not? And besides, I'm just going to keep my faith to myself from now on. I'm not going to let anybody see. You think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there's lots of, but I just don't know them.
Yeah, right.
You know, we got to say, hey, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And so he threatens them. Imagine they could feel this heat from a furnace. And if you live in this city, you know what I'm talking about. These huge furnaces. You can picture those big things they burn the trash with, whatever, in the bottom of these big buildings and incinerators and all. And they don't. They don't bow down. They don't defend themselves, and they don't bow down. But they do say this. They say, listen, the God that we serve can deliver us from your ignorant self. No, our God can deliver us. They're very honorable. Can deliver us from all this. But even if he doesn't, this is how we stand. We're going to stand for God. We're not going to bow down to give in to something that's declaring itself as a God. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to do it because he says no other gods before him. Seven times worse. Make the consequences seven times worse. Raise their taxes. Take away their exempt status. Begin to break up marriage. Begin to take their kids from them. Seven times worse. Seven times worse. Make it worse. Make the fiery furnace was seven times hotter than it was originally. Listen, a fiery furnace was bad to begin with, but now it's seven times worse. And they didn't. They didn't bow down. And they said, listen, I'm going to bind you, tie your hands, and I'm going to throw you into this seven times worse consequences. We got to get a mindset today in our hearts that we are going to stand for God, even if our God does not deliver us from the situation. It's not this old weird, twisted movement they're calling sometimes a faith movement that says if you say that, if you say, but even if God doesn't, then God's not going to deliver you. It's like, dude, God's listening. He's smarter than you. Mm-hmm. He knows your heart. Yeah. He's not some combination on a safe, and he's no slot machine at a casino. He is God. He is alive and living, and he's watching. And to this point, they didn't see God.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Carr City. You'll be glad you did. Just Fishing Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fishing Grits today. To dine in or to take out, you can have your meal on the go. It is good.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Steve, have you seen our Facebook page?
Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome. You know, for all of our radio subscribers, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/VFNTV. Every day, there's fresh segments that are posted on there, and it's a great way for you to stay connected and be in touch. I want to encourage you, too, to encourage your friends to like our page. We want to continue to get the good news out, to share encouraging stories, to share God's news behind the news, as well as informing you, educating, and inspiring you. Again, check us out at facebook.com/VFNTV, and don't forget to like us.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
They believe God, and by faith, they trust. They said, listen, I'm going to honor God. Even though they were in captivity for the consequences, more than likely, of what they'd already done in Israel, now they're under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And even in the, we made all these mistakes. At some point, we can make a decision. I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to stand for what's right. Mm-hmm. Even if God does not deliver me, I am not going to let it be known of me that I bowed down to your stuff. Then all of a sudden, okay, fine, he's just maxed out. He is furious. He's been shamed in front of everybody, you know. It's three people. Then flip this king upside down. It's like, three people? Really? Really? And so now he says he got his strongest soldiers. He had them tied up. Just think of the pain and the torment that these guys could be going through in their minds. How many people that hear the threats of the adversary, whose mouth he uses, people's mouths around you, that starts talking about all these seven times worse, and it's going to be all these consequences and just bombard you. And imagine, listen, somebody says, it reminds me of an officer that we were going to a particular retired officer had lost it for a while and had barricaded himself in a house and taken a deputy hostage. And he had her against her, holding her by the neck. And he looked, he said to her this statement. He says, "I'm not going to kill you, but I may shoot you in the leg. I'm probably going to shoot you in the leg." I mean, just, it just, that's kind of worse. Hearing a statement like that is worse than like, you know, "I'm going to die here," something about that. And so your mind just begins to mess with you. You know, when you start hearing that if you don't do this, you're going to have not only the original consequences, but now we pass new laws and new regulations where you're going to have seven times worse the consequences. It's just going to be horrific. What does that mean? Your reputation shot, your everything that you were going, everything's ruined. But it's like, I don't change. This is what I'm, this is what I'm going to stand. So he, the furnace is so hot that when these strongest soldiers take these three men and they tie them, and imagine the feeling of being tied, you know what they're going to do. I mean, at least if your hands weren't tied, you could move around a little bit. Yeah, the last move to your face or whatever you're hanging on to at the time. And that, but now their hands are tied. They're going to go through all this pain and torture and torment with their hands tied. And they go and to throw them into this fiery furnace on the orders of this king because they wouldn't bow down to this thing that everybody else was bowing down to. And it was so hot that the strong soldiers, just when the heat touched them, that they died. The soldiers that threw them in died. That's how hot it is. Quit. So many people are trying to live so hard that they never do. Until you're ready, you know, until you're ready to die for something, you're never ready to live. And these guys said, you know, even if God does not deliver us, and all of a sudden the king looked at the fire where the three men were in this fire and all these consequences, he's in jail now and he's lost his job now and he's in divorce or she's divorced and the kids are doing this and the economy's doing that and, you know, it's all bad and he's got wanted posters and all the whole thing's just crashing in on him. And the king looks at all these consequences. He looks into the fiery furnace and he goes, "Hey guys, hey, look. Didn't we throw three of these guys in there?" And they said, "Yes, we did." And he goes, "But there's four. I see four of them and they're walking around in the fire." The fire that killed the soldiers, the fire that killed the agents, you know, that killed the whatever, didn't kill these three men. And they were unbound and unharmed in the fire. And he said, there's someone like the Son of God walking around in the fire with them. Jesus showed up. See, God wasn't showing up until they were in the fire. So many people say, "Well, I don't see God in my life." Well, you don't go through nothing. And when you're about to go through something, you run like a scaredy cat and you start coming, "Oh my, I almost got burnt." And it's like, go through something. Go through something. And then when they get thrown into the consequences of them standing up for God, what was coming their way, that's when Jesus showed up and the power of God showed up in such a way that kept them from burning.
Right.
It didn't burn. It didn't burn. And in the context of that, they didn't even, it's just amazing. So he's going, "What's going on? What's going on?" So the very king that ordered him thrown into the fire looks in the fire and tells them, "Come out of there." Right? Is that crazy? Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Come out of the fire, this consequences that killed everybody else. It didn't kill you. Think about it. Listen, it's going to take time. We're going to have to begin to be like these three men. Despite why where we are, because we've done things wrong, we've repented, we've made things right, and now we're going to say, I'm going to stand for God. And he called these men out, and they walked out the fire. And when they walked out of the fire that destroyed everybody else, when they walked out of the consequences that were happening to them, it was not a figment of their imagination, it was happening to them. When they walked out of it, he said they did not have a singed hair on their body, they were unharmed, and they didn't even smell like smoke.
Wow.
This is what it's going to take. It's going to take men and women who are willing to stand for God. But see, it started with these men saying, "But even if he doesn't deliver me, it's wrong and I'm not going to do it. And even if I'm in captivity now because I did wrong, well, I repented and I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm going to stand for God." And all of a sudden, the king's talking to these guys, and he's going, listen, oh my goodness. So the very king that was blaspheming God, creating images and all this negative, ungodly things, and forcing the entire people that he was over to follow these false gods because three men stood for God. He created brand new laws in the land that honored God. He put a First Amendment out that blows away the First Amendment of the United States. It was a First Amendment that said very specifically, let me tell you what, these three men's God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, their God is God, and nobody should talk against him. And if they do, they'll be cut to pieces and their house will be taken down to shambles. Overnight, in a moment, when somebody was willing to go through something, when somebody was willing to stand up, not get into political maneuvering and networking and trying to throw all your chips behind some political party, just stand for God. Get the pornography out of your life. Get the junk out of your house. Get all the idols out of your heart. Get your life clean. Start living your marriage the way God says to live your marriage. Start bringing your home in order. Bring your business in order. It's time to say, you know what? I'm not going to do what everybody else is doing. Even if the consequences are seven times worse, and even if it costs me my life, I'm going to stand for God. It was so powerful. A man went from an anti-God type stance that he is God and he's going to create an image of himself, to all of a sudden acknowledging God. He made laws. Listen now, he made laws that everybody was going to have to allow the Jews, the God's people, to be able to worship ever how they wanted to and not to talk about what they're doing. Can you imagine if the church stood up again in America for God, not pushing their way? Because right now what you have is a lot of the people in the church are just, you know, trusting in their ability to force things instead of just standing for what's right. And they didn't do that. They just stood for what's right when everybody else is doing what's wrong. And don't worry about it. There will be a rat that's going to go tell on you that you're standing for what's right. And then it's going to cause the leaders to get furious. But then you're just going to have to trust God to do what he's going to do. But in the context of that, they changed the entire laws. They changed the constitution of Babylon. Think about it. They changed the constitution of Babylon in a moment's notice because they went through something. There's so many false doctrines being preached right now that says you don't go through something. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were to go through something today, people would say, obviously, they've sinned and something is wrong. Instead of saying, no, this is the epicenter of change that will change a constitution of a nation. This whole thing has been preached and twisted that Christians don't go through stuff. The thing is that we go through what everybody else goes through, but God delivers us in the go through. He changed the laws for them. And if that's not enough, when it looked like it was totally over for them, they were obsolete figures in the midst of the nation who decided to stand when everybody else bowed, who was only brought to the king's attention because of a snitch, who was facing death. And really, they really thought, this is over, I'm going to die. But, you know, God can, but maybe he doesn't. They were used by God. God used that moment in time. That obedience, that love and obedience to change Babylon. And he could do it. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar's his servant. Quit dogging out the president and start realizing it's the church that has to do something. We got to stand for God. So that had to be it. I mean, what else could be done? God, this is totally amazing. Well, let me tell you what happened. At that one moment in time, the king goes and he finds these three men. Who he set up to kill and was shocked that they weren't dead. And he promoted them. He actually gave them a promotion. Think about it. He promoted them when he was going to kill them a few days later, earlier. I don't get no promotions at work. You don't go through squat. You don't stand up for God. Nobody knows you're a Christian at work. If they had to arrest you and take you before a grand jury and search for evidence, they'd have to let you go because they couldn't find enough evidence to find out you were a Christian. Well, it's just a private thing. Well, that's what most of the nation said, except for Shadrach, Meshach, these three men.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order.
Yeah.
And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
Don't
and I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends it. They said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can that be better?
The same conversation. Yeah.
The other one
worked
for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, I'm going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh, my goodness. I think it's our Southern draw. I think it's our Southern draw. We got to you know, really enunciate our words. And speak more like John. Tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus
on it. He does really good.
I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling, and then wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Instead of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. He's like, I didn't
know
about
that
one.
Are you calling me heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill. Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. Jeet.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And let me tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes by, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this, Jeet. Nope. Don't do.
I
that was the final thing. And that means we're gonna have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay, okay.
Yes. We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh,
so how do you sophisticated? Oh my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and I
doubt.
Have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And it's time for us to do that. It makes me think of, you know, a teacher in Texas that had to go through the very same thing. Had to go through the very same thing. We've all had to go through fires. But you know what? They told her when she was just a godly lady and she's just standing up for God, doing excellent at her work as a teacher. And she begins to talk about Jesus at work, and they just corner her and tell her, don't bring Jesus up here. You can, and literally rebuked her for bringing Jesus up. They said, listen, we got Jews here. So they told her, Jesus is a Jew. You know, and it's just the devil taking all these people's mouths. And try to shut her up. Don't bring God up. Well, that's what's going to boil down to, guys. It's going to boil down to, do you go to work
and bow down like everybody else, or do you still stay faithful to God?
Mm-hmm.
When you go play basketball with your friends or you're hanging out with whatever, do you bow down to what they're bowing down to, or do you still stand for God? Mm-hmm. When you go to family that's familiar with you, do you bow down to what they're bowing down to, or do you still stand for God?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to, standing for God. And so what she did was, you know, that kind of just stayed in the atmosphere. But then as a visiting teacher, she's going around and she's with this one particular student, and this student's parents are divorced, and she lives with her mother, but not with her father. And her father has evil intentions. And so the father accuses this teacher of something that wasn't true. Evil stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, can it get any worse? Can it get any worse? And so the enemies want you, this is what the enemy wants you to say, don't ever bring God up again. Don't ever stand up for God again. You think that's bad? That's only two. I got seven times worse than this. Mm-hmm. But you know what? She stayed faithful to God. She stayed faithful. They took her through the fiery furnace, and they're talking, rebuking her and saying, this is terrible. They're using her when all the teachers come together as an object lesson for what not to do. The accusation is a criminal at the point of what they're saying, which is not true. And she held her mouth. She's like these three men. She did not defend herself, but she prayed and she sought the Lord and sought godly counsel. And even though when her conscience was burning and her heart was broken and she wanted so bad to just say, this is not right, she said, I'm going to trust myself to God. This is right. What I'm doing for God is right. And I'm not going to bow down to what everybody else is bowing down to. All of a sudden, after an extended period of fiery furnace in her emotions and her life, and just, it was just consuming her life. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, God says, okay. And the father repents and acknowledges it was false accusation. Mm. All of a sudden, everything that was there is not there anymore. All of a sudden, these very teachers that rebuked her for bringing up God were sitting with her over dinner and saying, you know, we did that ourselves. We talked, you know, and all of a sudden it's like their whole mindset switched overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're thinking, are these the same people that was going to kill me a few moments ago? Mm-hmm. And then not only that, they came and got her. They said, listen, we're looking for somebody to promote. And they promoted her over the very people that rebuked her.
Mm.
It sounds a lot like these three men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? She went through hell. She went through hell in that false accusation and all that fire of accusation. And I always say this, that, and she stayed faithful to God. She mm-hmm. didn't, but all they want you to do, this is all the devil wants you to do, it doesn't matter how you do it, just do what everybody else is doing. Don't stand up for God. Don't have a marriage like God. Don't have a family like God. Don't have a business the way God would have. You know, don't. That's all they want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's like, just as long as you don't bring up Jesus, everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, you think, my goodness, but she went through hell. And that's the whole thing is, it's like so many whiners. It's like, you haven't went through anything. You don't go through anything. Chad, these three men were willing to go in the fiery furnace. She went through the fiery furnace of accusation. And let me tell you something. Accusation's evil and it's bad and it's just, but listen, that's just a matter of somebody's mouth moving and saying a lie. But what's worse than accusation is the fools that believe the accusers. It's like,
yeah.
You believe that? You know, and that's kind of like, you know, it's like, that's just, and the thing is, that's your time of testing when you're going to stay faithful. Are you going to, the second you start defending yourself, then you're moving in pride. The second you start explaining yourself, then you're moving in pride, and God resists that. So it's not going to be a moment where God's going to be able to. And you don't care whether you make it or not, right? Because that's the thing is, well, God can deliver me from this, but even if he doesn't. And she was just totally convinced, you know what? Even if I have to get a new field of work or get another job, work a different place, so be it. You know, I'm going to keep on standing. I'm going to be silent and let God work all these things out. And she prayed, and she prayed together with believers and trusted God and just kept her mouth shut. And now she's highly favored throughout the whole school system there in Texas. And she's a teacher of teachers.
Yeah.
And blessed and got a raise and a promotion.
That's
and
right.
All those naysayers, including like Nebuchadnezzar sayers who were saying furious with you, all of a sudden is defending you and defending the God that you serve. Listen, what does America need? We need people who are going to stand for God. Listen, quit calling yourself a believer when you don't believe. A Christian is a Christ follower. A believer is someone who says, yes, he can deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to follow him because I believe he's the only way for my sins to be forgiven. He's the only way to heaven. He is the hope of all mankind who actually turn to him. There is no other way. I'm standing for Jesus. It's time to stand, church, in America. Pat, yeah. What's God been saying to you, man?
Well,
that's deep.
Yeah, it is, wasn't it? Man, that was good. Well, I was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
That's really good.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yes.
It's a good book. You got to read it.
Yes.
And it was saying, it says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what you just said?
Satan has blinded the minds of the people.
He's the god of this world.
Yeah.
Oh my, to be friendship with the world, then that means to be friendship with the god of this world.
Mm-hmm. Which is Satan.
Which is the enemy of God. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
That's just profound. No, you're right. Exactly. And he blinds those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
In verse 6, it says, for God, who said, let there be light in the darkness. He has made this light shine in our hearts, so we...
Uh-huh.
So we... I can't read my writing now.
The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord.
I think.
This is good, man. Come on.
Oh, wow. Anyway.
This is good.
Anyway, so, you know, light... You know, that light he puts inside of us is for us, is to shine. And then verse 7 says, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure.
That's the cracks you were talking about.
That's what I was talking about this morning. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves.
Right.
Well, what got my attention is this, when he's talking about, you know, the fragile clay jars that we're in. And
fragile, pathetic.
You know, a lot of us, of course, me, I don't know about you guys,
but we understand.
We spend a lot of time trying to cover up these cracks and holes in our jars.
Spackle.
Because we don't like it. You know, we're like, ugh, you know, we're so self-conscious of ourselves and our weaknesses and our flaws that we're constantly trying to cover it up. And what God says, if you, like Paul says all the time, he says, you know, I'll boast in my weaknesses. So that God's glory would be manifest. You know, it's that light inside of us that's trying to get out, but we're too busy trying to cover it all up. God, you know, people can't see the light in us.
It's the crack that lets the light out.
It's the cracks that let the light out.
Mm.
So God gets the glory for our weakness.
It's good.
You know what I'm saying? It's
Our natural nature is we're so worried about, you know, our weakness getting in the way of the message. And it's like, no, it's actually our weakness that is the message.
That's exactly the message. And it's like, we're so polar opposites. What it's just.
Somebody says, look at the size I'm in to you. Oh, you're really pathetic. God's really using you.
Exactly.
Right. God's really using
you. Exactly. Exactly. It's like, okay, Lord. All right. You know, you're like peeling That's off good. The band-aids. Get rid of that. Get rid of this.
So we can start talking about your stuff now.
Please.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. You've been holding back? Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm in trouble now.
Well, this one thing.
Let me tell you, you don't want to miss the extra hour.
It's all going to be let loose now.
Now we get it. It's like, cut. It looks like we're coming to an end today.
Hey.
That's really a good word. It's so important because it's the fact that God puts us all surpassing power in jars of clay to prove that it's him and not us.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that you can be used by God the moment you realize that God uses weak things, things that are not, to nullify the things that are. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.